We're beginning the Rambam's introduction to the Mishnah, and we'll try to introduce this introduction quickly. The Rambam, Rav Moshe ben Maimon, was one of the greatest Rishonim, one of the greatest rabbis in the period of the Rishonim, the period of the rabbis that goes from about 900 CE till about 1400 CE, 1500 CE. The Rambam is most famous for his works in Halacha, the Mishneh Torah. But when the Rambam was younger, he composed a work explaining the Mishnayot. He composed the work in Arabic so that laymen could learn it and learn the Mishnayot. And it's interesting to note that there are very few differences between what the Rambam held when he was younger and he wrote this commentary on the Mishnah and what the Rambam held when about 20 years later he composed his great work, the Yad HaChazakah, his halachic work, which shows us that already at a young age the Rambam had attained the tradition and attained mastery of the Shas and the mastery of Halacha. There are areas where he changed his mind, but in most of the Shas it's consistent. Now, being that the Rambam wrote it in Arabic, so we don't speak Arabic, it was translated. It was translated to Hebrew by Rav Ibn Tibbon, a translator. One of the Ibn Tibbons, they were a family of translators. One of them even transcribed with the Rambam, and the Rambam gave him his approval. In later years, it was translated again and again. We have Rav Kapach's translation, Rav Shilat's translation. I'm opting to learn the introduction of the Rambam with Rav Ibn Tibbon, the ancient translation, even though the Hebrew is sometimes difficult, and even though all the commentaries that followed him have comments on, oh, he should have translated this word differently or that word differently. But bottom line, this is the translation that most of the sages throughout the generations used, and this is what they saw. And when the Rambam's introduction is referred to by the other Rishonim, most of the time they're referring to this translation. This is the one that everyone had. This is the one that's printed in the Shas. So, as such, I think this is the one that's worth learning. Maybe in a few years when we do this again, we'll choose a different translation. But for now, we're going to learn the ancient translation, the translation of Rav Ibn Tibbon, even though it is slightly more difficult to understand. And if you're learning this on your own, I recommend you opt for one of the other translations, Rav Kapach or Rav Shilat, simply because they use a Hebrew that flows more easily, and they're using modern Hebrew, so it's easier to understand. But in most of their places, the differences are going to be minimal. If people are following on the web, it shouldn't be too difficult to follow with a different translation, because it's different translations of the same text. So it's pretty much the same thing. We're going to work with the Rambam La'am, simply because the Rambam La'am is a Rambam that Mosad Hare Kook put out without commentaries. They have footnotes on the bottom where they sum up many commentaries. And the big advantage of the Rambam La'am is that they put nekudos, so it's easier to read. They wrote in how each word should be pronounced. So if anyone's following here or online, when we refer to page numbers, we're going to be referring to the page numbers within the Rambam La'am. The Rambam's introduction to Mishnah, theoretically, is just an introduction to Mishnah. But in fact, the Mishnah is the basis, is the beginning of Torah Shebal Peh. And in the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah, he sums up a tremendous introduction to the whole concept of Torah Shebal Peh. He sums up many of the foundations, many of the basic concepts of prophecy, the basic concepts of Halakha L'Moshe M'Sinai. And this introduction has within it many, 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 many basic concepts. At one point, I felt this introduction was so important, I just read through it for myself and recorded it, and I would listen to it on MP3 just to review this introduction, to try and get it down pat, to remember it. As with every learning, it's recommended to review what you learn and to take notes, and that in that way, hopefully, we'll remember what we're learning here. One of the wonderful things about the Rambam is that as you read him, everything seems simple. He always presents things in a very organized manner. And it can be deceiving, because as you read the as we're going to learn it, everything we read is going to seem like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that's right. But when you walk away, you can forget a lot of what the Rambam said, and even if you retain what he said, you might not remember that you saw it here. And it's very worthwhile to sit down and jot down even short notes, just to sum up what we're learning, so that you remember, hey, wait a second, what was in this Akdama? If you write even just a sentence or two for each paragraph we learn, then you'll find that at the end, you'll have a page or two of notes which you can quickly review in 5 or 10 minutes, and you'll have the whole Hakdama and the Mishnah, you'll have the Rambam's whole introduction to the Mishnah. And that being said, let's begin. The Rambam always begins his works with a verse, with a pasuk. If we were learning this in depth, we'd try and analyze what the Rambam means by the pasukim he quotes. The Rambam begins, B'shem Hashem Kel Olam. It says that Avram camped and he proclaimed in the name of Hashem, who is the force of the world. So the Rambam begins with that part of the verse. In the name of Hashem, who is the force of the world. Hitkabtzu chachamim ve'omdu al amdechem. The Rambam over here is going to begin like most of the works of his time with a song in a poetic manner. And as did most of the Rabbanim in his time, the beginning is going to rhyme. And it's going to be built on different verses in Tanakh and sayings of Chazal. I'm not going to use their exact nekudot, because sometimes it's a pasuk and they don't put the nekudot the way it is in the pasuk. I don't know why. So I'm not going exactly with the Rambam Lam in my pronunciation of the words, because sometimes it seems to make sense to me that that's not what the Rambam meant. Hitkavtzu chachamim v'imdu al omdechem. Gather the wise men and stand on your place. Ki zevet tov azav etchem. For I will give you something good that you can take along with you. Lechu vanim shimuli yirat Hashem alam etchem. Go, children, listen to me, for I will teach you the fearingness of God. Shimu shamo elai v'yichlu tov. Listen, or listen to me, and you'll eat good. V'tiye nafshechem kegan ratov. And your soul will be like a garden that's been freshly watered. Mi'ayi shechafetz chayim, ohev yamim lirot tov. Who is the person who seeks life, who likes his days to see good? Asher lo ela alav ol melech gadol, that did not take upon himself the yoke of the great king, that's the Yetzer Hara, v'lo shachat tachtav, and he didn't bend down under him, under this great king, the Yetzer Hara, v'lo yishiyu mashiyav, v'lo ayam imfutav, and those that tried to seduce him, to entice him, were unsuccessful, v'yasem alibo, and he took to his heart, he decided, that he won't dirty himself with the bread of this king or the wine that he offers. Now these are all, a lot of this is the fact that the Yetzer Hara is called a king, so that's a Gemara and Nidar. And the rest of this is, much of it is Psukim. So here this is a verse about Daniel, that Daniel and his friends decided they're not going to dirty themselves with the food of the king. He was giving them non-kosher food, and they decided they're not eating it. So he's saying, who decided that they won't go in the food or drink of this king? And we know that bread and wine is a reference to Negle and Nistar, to the Halacha and the Drush. And he's saying he didn't go for the teachings of the Yetzer Hara. So whoever it is that decided he wants life and he's not going with the Yetzer Hara, Yasu heina el tivchi asher tavachti, turn here to the slaughter that I've slaughtered, the food that I'm making available, vel yeni asher nasachti, and to my wine that I've libated, vel shulchani asher arachti, and to the table that I've set, lechu lachmu velachmi ushtu biyain nasachti, come, eat my bread, drink my wine that I've poured, v'inei vo mikol pri migadim, you'll find within it all delicious fruits, chadashim gam yeshanim, new and old, v'yein areka chasis harimonim, and the wine and the juice of pomegranates, dovev siftei yeshenim, something that would sweeten even the lips of the elf, of the old, would move the lips of the old. V'hu trumat yeni, and this is really my offering of my wine. V'reshit kol tegani, and this is the first of all of my grains. Medushani uven goni, this comes from my crops. V'yeino mikerem keren ben shemen, and my wine is really from a great orchard, a great vineyard. V'lachmo lechem abirim, and the bread is really bread of great warriors. He's referring to the concepts that he's going to teach us now. That everything he's going to teach us is really things that comes from great men, from our sages. Kol ochloch el kosh amen, whoever eats it, he's going to have a good portion. V'tamo ketam nishat ha-shamen, and it tastes like the way the Torah describes the taste of the man. Ichlu mashmanim ushtuma emtakim banai. Eat the sweets, drink the sweets, my sons. Ichlu reim shetu v'shichu nevonai. Eat, O friends, drink and get drunk, you wise men. Zeh shulchan asher lifnei Adonai. For this is the table that is before Hashem. The things I'm going to present you with now, says the Rambam, are the words of our tradition. Maybe we should shut the heater. I see people's eyes are drooping. Thank you. What am I standing before you, says the Rambam? V'hu perusha mishnah asher shinenu avotechem. This is the explanation of the Mishnah that your forefathers would constantly repeat in order to remember the Mishnah. And I'm going to explain the fences that the shepherds of the Jewish people fenced us in with. And I'll give the basic foundations that are your foundations. And I'll explain what are the minhag, what are the customs, what are the gderot, what are the fences, and what are the takanot, the institutions that our great warriors, our brave men, established. Meaning, the Rambam is going to explain in this introduction, how do we break down everything that Chazal taught us? What's called a gedel, what's called a takana, what's called a gzera, what's called a minhag. All these terms are going to be defined in this Akhtamat of the Mishnah we're going to learn. These are the institutions that our sages instituted from the day God commanded us the Torah onward throughout our generations. And the Torah and the words we're going to learn are like the Tower of David standing to its height, and it has 1,000 shields hanging around it, in kol kelei milchamot ha-gevarim, together with the other weapons of the brave men, kol shiltei ha-giborim, all the shields of the great warriors. Ani Moshe ben Maimon ha-Sfaradi ben Itiu, I, Moses, the son of Maimonides, we call the Rambam Maimonides, but really he was the son of Maimonides. His father's name was Maimon. I, Moshe, the son of Maimon, the Spaniard, I've built it, umiyama Talmud mishitiu, and I've drawn it out of the sea of the Talmud, umisapira tosefta isatiu, and from the sapphire of the tosefta I've given it its foundation, uvifuch sifra ribatstiu, and with the eyeshadow of the sifra I've adorned it, umizehav sifrei tachtihu, and I've embalmed it with the gold of the sifri, uvidivrei geonim simachtiu, and I've supported it with the words of the geonim, of the geniuses. That's a series of generations that we refer to as Geonim. Mechakesef atzeruv zikaktiu, and just like pure silver, I've purified what I'm saying. Uvmaavei libi itzaktiu, and in the thickness of my heart, I've poured it out. Think maavei is thickness. Veineu kicherem chemed untasha shuin netatiu, and now it is like a coveted vineyard. Something, a vineyard that's been planted for fun, and I've planted it for the enjoyment of people. V'yomi v'leili netzartiu, and day and night I've protected it. V'lirga'im ishkitiu, and at set times I've watered it. Ad asher nitzanav gamelu, till its first fruits, its flourishings, reach their maturity. V'ashkelotav bashelu, and its fruits, its grapes have come to be completely ripe. Mechol asmadar piteach, and the young grapes have grown and filled in. Vechol etzbo poreach, and every tree has given its flowers. V'adudaim natnureach, and the dudaim, whatever those are, they've given off their good smell. Patachti et shara velo nealtiu, I've opened its gates, I haven't locked it. V'yomam la'layla lo sigartiu, day and night I haven't closed it. Ulchol yishar v'navar shematatiu, The Rambam says, I've left it for everyone who's straight, anyone who wants to come with a clean heart, and anyone who wants to come and just rebuke me, because the Rambam says throughout his works, I always knew if I did something, whatever you do, people are going to tell you there's something wrong with it. So the Rambam says, I've presented you with something great, and I've presented it, it's free for all. I know that those that are right will access it, and I know that those that are just coming to quarrel with me will also access it. Umincha letalmidim shelachtiu, and I've sent it as a gift to the students. Vehinini asaltiu al kol asher milin ma'atik. And says the Rambam, I have given it over, I've tied it over for whoever wants to copy it, to copy it over and give it to others. Layoshvim lifnei Hashem yeh lechol lesova velemichsei atik. This should be for those that sit before Hashem to eat and satiate themselves, and this should be an ancient covering, so to speak, for the people who are learning Torah. So the Rambam says, I've worked very hard, I've tried to gather my sources from the sources of Chazal, and as best as I could, I put forth a work which is supposed to quantify and define for us the breakdown of the different aspects of Torah Shebaal Peh, and I'm giving it before the students, and this is supposed to teach the students all the basics they need to know when it comes to Torah Shebaal Peh. The Rambam doesn't say all the basics they need, no, the Rambam says this is going to give all kinds of important information for the students, and everyone should learn this. Now we're going to begin. That was all the Rambam's song of introduction. Now the Rambam begins the real work. Right. His introductions to his works, like all the Chachamim Sfaradim, are poetic. Right. The Rambam's using beautiful poetry. Most of what we read is play on words from verses in Tanakh. The Rambam begins, Da, I want you to know, Ki chol mitzvah shenatan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom, every mitzvah that God gave Moshe, our Rebbe, may his memory be in peace, netana lo befeusha. Ah, it came just in time. We're just beginning the Rambam's induction into Mishnah. I want you to know, says the Rambam, every mitzvah that God gave Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave it to him with its explanation. Now this is a very important point, because this is one of the main points of contention we've had throughout the generations. Be it with the Tzedukim, the Sadducees, who wouldn't accept our interpretation of the Torah. Be it with the Kutim. Be it with the Baitusim. Be it with the Karaim. Be it with the Reform. Baitusim were an offshoot of the Tzedukim. Be it with the later generation of Reform and Conservative movement. This point that the Rambam just said in one sentence sums up our tradition. Our tradition is that the Torah was given with an explanation. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't walk off the mountain and tell the Jewish people, here, I got to work. Now let's figure it out. Let's see what it means. No. God gave it to him and God explained to him, what does the Torah mean? And that's our oral law. That's a Torah Shebaal Peh. Every mitzvah that was given to Moshe, says the Rambam, was given to him with its explanation. Haya omer lo ha-mitzvah. God would tell Moshe the mitzvah, v'achakach omer lo perusha v'inyana. And then God would tell Moshe Rabbeinu its explanation and the points of that mitzvah. V'chol mashu cholel sefer ha-Torah. And everything, all the details of the mitzvah that are within the Torah, God gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'inyan nimudo li-Yisrael, haya kefi shomar lecha. And the way Moshe taught the Torah to the Jewish people is going to be the way I'm going to explain now, says the Rambam. Haya Moshe nichnas bo'alo. Moshe would enter his tent. Now, just for information, this isn't the Rambam's invention. This concept that Hashem gave the Torah with its explanation is a Gemara in Brachos. This concept of how Moshe Rabbeinu would teach over the Torah is a Gemara in Erevin. So, the Rambam's telling it to us, but this isn't his own invention. The Rambam says like this. This is how Moshe Rabbeinu would teach the Jewish people the Torah. Haya Moshe nichnas bo'alo. Moshe would enter his tent. V'nichnas elav batchila Aaron. First Aaron would follow Moshe. U'Moshe haya omer lo ha-mitzvah n'tuna lo pam achat v'limdahu perusha. Moshe would tell him the mitzvah that he was taught. He would teach it to him once and explain to him the explanation. V'yistalek Aaron v'yachzor limin Moshe Rabbeinu. After Aaron was taught the mitzvah, Aaron would come stand to the right of Moshe Rabbeinu. The nichnesu acharav, Elazar v'Itamar banav. Next in line were Aaron's two sons, Elazar and Isamar. They'd walk in and stand before Moshe. Dayam Moshe omer lehem hashama l'Aaron. Moshe would repeat the teaching just as he taught Aaron. Time number one, he teach Elazar and Isamar. This is the second time he's teaching it. Aaron is listening. Aaron's hearing it a second time as well. Moshe teaches it to them. Vayistaraku, and they now go. Vayeshev echad lismol Moshe Rabbeinu. One set to Moshe's left. Vayasheni limin Aaron, and one set to Aaron's right. So we have Moshe on his left is either Elazar or Isamar. On his right is Aaron, and to Aaron's right is either Elazar and Isamar. However, they divided it. So now we have Moshe, Aaron, Elazar, and Isamar standing there. Moshe said it over twice. Aaron's heard it twice. Elazar and Isamar have heard it once. V'achrei chen yavo shivim zkenim. Then the 70 elders came. V'ilamdem Moshe k'moshe limed l'Aaron uvanav. And Moshe will teach you the third time now. He teaches the 70 elders just as he taught Aaron and his sons. V'achrei chen yavo ha'amon v'chol mvakesh Hashem. And afterward, the fourth time, after the elders have heard it, Aaron's heard it, Elazar and Isamar has heard it, after teaching it three times, the fourth time Moshe is going to teach it, the masses came, whoever wanted to seek out the word of Hashem, Vayasam nifneim ha-mitzvah hi, Moshe Rabbeinu would teach it to everyone, ad yishmu hakol mipiv, till whoever wanted to could hear the mitzvah from Moshe Rabbeinu. Nimtza, turns out, Aaron shomea mitzvah imipi Moshe arba pamim. Aaron heard the mitzvah from Moshe with all its explanations and details four times. Uvanav and Aaron's children heard it three times from Moshe Rabbeinu. Shalosh pamim. Vazkenim and the elders, they heard it shtei pamim. They heard it twice. Once when he said it to them, and once when Moshe said it over to the Jewish people as a whole. Ushalam and the remainder of the nation pam echad. They heard it once. Vaistalek Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu's finished teaching it four times. He leaves. וחזר אהרון לפרש המצווה היא אשר למד ששמע מפי משה ארבע פעמים. And Aaron now is going to teach the mitzvah a second time to the masses. So Aaron, who's heard it from Moshe four times, now teaches it once. So Aaron, Moshe leaves after he's taught it to the masses once, and Aaron teaches the mitzvah again. כמו שאמרנו על כל הנמצאים, as we explained, he's speaking to all those that were present, the masses. ויסתלק אהרון מאיתם. After Aaron taught it, he leaves. אחרי ששמעו בניו המצווה ארבע פעמים, after his sons have heard the mitzvah four times, שלוש מפי משה, three times from Moshe, ואחת מפי אהרון and once from Aaron, וחוזרין אלעזר ואיתמר, so then the sons repeat the mitzvah, אחרי שנסתלק אהרון, after Aaron has left, ללמד המצווה היא לכל העם הנמצאים. They teach the mitzvah a third time, ונסתלקו מללמד, and then they leave. ונמצאו שבעים הזקנים שומעים המצווה ארבע פעמים. Turns out the elders have heard it four times. They've heard it twice from Moshe, once from Aaron, once from his children. Shtai mipi Moshe, they've heard it twice from Moshe, achat mipi Aaron, once from Aaron, v'achat mipi Elazar v'Itamar, once from Elazar and Isamar. V'chuzrim azkenim gam hem achar kach lorot ha-mitzvah l'amon pam echad. And then the elders, they repeat the mitzvah to the masses another time. Nimtzu kol hakal shumin ha-mitzvah hi arba pamim. Turns out that the congregation that came to hear the Torah would hear it four times. Pa'am mipi Moshe, once from Moshe, u'pa'am mipi Aaron, once from Aaron, u'shlishit mipi Vanav, the third time from his sons, u'vid mipi Azkenim, the fourth time from the elders. Okay, so now let's repeat everything we learned. You guys ready? No one here would have patience. If I said, let's go over what we just learned four times, by the second time, I doubt half you guys would be here. By the third time, if I was down to one, it would be nice. By the fourth time, I'd be surprised if anyone stayed. So, we see though, that the way the Torah has to be learned, and these were intelligent people, these were people we don't begin to understand their level, and they came and they were being taught the mitzvah fresh. Moshe comes down and says, okay, now we have a mitzvah putting tefillin. This is what tefillin is. You take this black box, you make black straps, the box has to be exactly square where it's sewed on the bottom, it has to be made of one hide preferably. All the laws of tefillin the Rambam goes through and explains to them. He explains it once. Think about it. You're learning the mitzvah for the first time. You hear it once, you could use a review. They hear it a second time, third time, four times they hear it. So after the masses have heard it four times, v'achalken, afterwards, hayu chol ha'am olchim lelemed ish la'achiv, ma she'shamu mipi Moshe. Everyone would go and start teaching one another, going over what they heard from Moshe, v'chotvim ha'mitzvah hi b'mkilot. And they'd write it down, a Megillah. They take a piece of parchment and they write down, okay, what did we learn today? Vayishotetu hasarim, and the heads of the nation started traveling al kol Yisrael between the Jews lelamedu lorot, to teach and to instruct ad sheidu v'girsa ha-mitzvah hi v'yargilu likota, till everyone can rattle off that mitzvah and they'll be accustomed to read that mitzvah.
Straight from the, what's his name? On the onset of the giving of Torah, it's already been, the Jews have been most educated of the nations.
Okay.
I'm saying, like, every nation is constantly, you know, like, wondering, Jews are so educated, and straight from the giving of the Torah, on the onset of it.
That's what it seems like. It seems like the masses had a responsibility to master the Torah, yeah. And the truth is, it's still that way today. Each and every one of us has a responsibility to master the Torah. Maybe it's more difficult. We're not sitting in a desert. We have distractions. We have all kinds of other things that attract us, but that's our responsibility. After everyone's gotten it down, they'd go into all the details of that mitzvah that was given from Hashem. And that explanation, the expansion on the Torah, had all kinds of details that were included in it. They'd write down the mitzvah, and then they'd learn it by heart. And this is what our sages taught us. The verse says, Hashem spoke to Moshe at Mount Sinai, Matamud lomar behar Sinai. Why does the Torah say in Parshas Behar, it starts the commandments of Shemitah and tells us, God gave that commandment to Moshe at Sinai. We've passed a quarter of the Torah since Sinai. We're at the end of Sefer Vayikra. In the middle of Shmos, we've been at Sinai, we got the Torah. Now suddenly at the end of Vayikra, the Torah tells us, this mitzvah Shemitah was given at Sinai. So the Gemara asks, but the whole Torah was said at Sinai. Ela lomar lecha, but the Torah is coming to teach us, mashmita nemra b'chlelea ufrateh v'diktka mi-Sinai, just as Shemitah was said with all its details at Sinai, when God gave us the commandment of Shemitah, God gave all its commandments at Sinai, af kol ha-mitzvot nemru chlelea ufrateh v'diktukehen mi-Sinai. So to all the mitzvahs were given with all their details at Sinai. V'inei lecha mashal, and behold, says the Rambam, I'm going to give you an allegory. HaKadosh Baruch Hu amar l'Moshe, for example, says the Rambam, when God said to Moshe, basukot yishvu shivat yamim, I want the Jews to sit in a sukkah for 7 days. We have a mitzvah of sukkah. Achar kach hodia, then God made known to Moshe, shasukkah hazot, how do we define this sukkah? How do we define this mitzvah of sukkah? It's a responsibility, chovah lazcharim lo alan kevot. Only males are obligated to sit in sukkah, not females. V'shein acholim chayvim ba velo olchei derech, and whoever's ill doesn't have to sit in the sukkah. Whoever's traveling isn't obligated to sit in the sukkah. V'shelo yesikucha alav tzemach haaretz. And how do you put this shading? God says, sit in the shade for 7 days. Sukkah means shade. So what shading can we sit in? So God taught Moshe that it has to be something that grows from the ground. And one cannot use for schach wool or silk or vessels, even though these things grow from the ground. You take a cup, you say it's a wooden cup, it grew in the ground. No, you can't use that for schach. It has to be something that's not mekabel tumen. Kegon, haksatot v'akarim v'abgadim, you're not allowed to use pillows or covers or clothes. You'll say, what do you mean, my clothes? It's made of cotton. It grew on the ground. No, you can't use that for schach.
Can you use it for vines?
Why not? If they're not attached. If you cut them from the ground. It has to be detached.
No, it grows like that. And,
It may not be attached to the ground. V'odiyah, and God taught Moshe, she'achila v'ashtiyah v'ashinah v'achol shiva chova. God taught Moshe that 7 days were responsible to eat, drink, and sleep in the sukkah. And God taught him that the minimum size is 7 by 7 tfachim. And the minimal height is 10 tfachim. So Moshe Rabbeinu got all the details of the mitzvah of sukkah. When Moshe Rabbeinu, the prophet, came up, God taught him this mitzvah with all its explanations. V'chena 613 mitzvot, and so too all the 613 mitzvot him uferusham, they and their explanations. Hamitzvot bichtav, the mitzvah was given in writing. V'aperush alpen, its explanation was given by heart. So Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Torah with its explanation. And the Rambam is now going to pick up with what happened at the end of the 40 years, how Moshe Rabbeinu gave over the Torah, the written Torah and the oral Torah, at the end of his life, at the end of the 40 years. So I think this is where we're going to pause for today. If you guys have strength, so then we should really continue another 5 minutes and finish this last point. Yeah? Do we have koch? Okay. So the Rambam says, "Vayhi ba'arba'im shana b'ashteh asar chodesh b'rosh chodesh Shvat," at the end of the 40 years, on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, we're holding 37 days before Moshe Rabbeinu is going to pass away, right? Hikil et ha'am v'amar lahem, Moshe Rabbeinu gathered the nation and said to them, "Hige zman moti, the time has come, I'm going to die soon. V'im yesh b'chem mi sheshama halacha u'shchecha, and if there is among you someone who heard halacha and forgot it, yavo v'yishaleni v'averot, I'll let him come and ask me and I'll explain it." So Moshe Rabbeinu gathers the Jews, he tells them, "Look, pretty soon I'm going to die, if anyone has any questions, ask. V'chon mi shenistapka alav sheila, whoever has a doubt, he has some kind of question, yavo, let him come v'afarshen alon, I'll explain it to him." As the Torah begins the book of Dvarim, and it tells us that when we were 40 years in the desert, we hit the beginning of the month of Shvat, Ho'il Moshe be'er ta Torah zot lemor. Moshe Rabbeinu explained the Torah saying the following, V'chen amru chachmim b'sifri, and this is what our sages taught us in the Medrash of Sifri, Kol sheshachach halacha achat yavo v'yishneh. Moshe told the Jewish people, whoever forgot a halacha, let him come and learn it. V'chol sheyesh lo lefaresh, yavo v'yifaresh. And whoever needs to explain something, whoever wants me to explain something, let him come and I'll explain it. V'rakhu mipiv berur halachot. So they came and they got from him all the explanations. V'lamdo perushim kol hazmanahu. And they learned all the explanations in that time. Shumu Rosh Chodesh Shvat ad Shiva v'Adar. From Rosh Chodesh Shvat till the 7th of Adar, which is 37 or 67 days. It's unclear whether that year there were two Adars or one. It's unclear whether he died in the first Adar or the second one. So in those 37 days, they clarified any doubts they had. And when he was just before his death, he started writing the Torah down in books, which doesn't mean books, it means on parchment. He wrote 13 Sefrei Torah. Kulam mibet bereshit, all of them he wrote from the first letter, Beis of Bereshis, ad Lamed le'enei Chol Yisrael, till the last letter of the Lamed, the last letter of the Torah is Yisrael, the last letter is Lamed. Benatan sefer lechol shevet v'shevet, litneg bov lelech chukotav, and he took a Sefer Torah, and he gave each tribe their Sefer Torah, to behave according to the Torah, and go with the laws of the Torah. V'sefer ha-shlosha asar, and the 13th book, Netanol alvim, that he gave to the Levim, as the pasuk said, v'amar lehem, and he said to them, lakoach et sefer Torah hazeh, you guys take this sefer Torah. Achar kach ala el ahar b'chatzi hayom ha-shvi'i lechodesh Adar. Then in the noon of the seventh day of Adar, he went up the mountain. Kefi asher dikdika kabbalah, as our tradition is accurate in telling over. As our tradition is meticulous in telling over, that it was noon of the 7th of Adar, and what happened to him when he went up that mountain on noon of the 7th of Adar, mita beinenu, in our eyes we call it that he died, because ever since then we're missing him, he's no longer among us, so we say Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain and died. But says the Rambam, b'chayim lo, with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu, he went up that mountain to life, because we say he went up to a more elevated stature, and therefore we say he went up to life, so to speak. That's what our sages told us. Moshe Rabbeinu lo met. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't die. He went up and he's serving in heaven. He went up to a higher stature, now he's serving in heaven. So we say, the pasuk says, Hashem told him, go up the mountain and die. So we say Moshe Rabbeinu died. From our perspective, he died. But from his perspective, he just went up another step. He served God to his fullest here on earth, and now he went to the next step, serving God in heaven. The Rambam says to explain this concept would require a lot of explanations, and this isn't the place for it. And so when Moshe died, after he gave over to Yoshua the explanations that he got in prophecy, so Yoshua and the people of his generation sat down and analyzed everything that Moshe had taught them. And here the Rambam says a very important point that the Rambam is famous for saying. He says anything that was on tradition from Moshe, anything they heard clearly from Moshe, there was never an argument about. No one argued about it. Everyone knew this is what Moshe said. There was never a machlokas in it. It's only the things that they didn't hear explicitly from Moshe. As much as Moshe taught, there were still aspects which they didn't hear clearly from him. There are offshoots of the things they learned from Moshe. So they were able to extrapolate the laws with the 13 laws of logic that were given at Sinai, that we should be dorish the Torah with those 13 laws of inference, those 13 laws of logic. And with respect to those laws that they extrapolated, some of the things no one ever had a machlokas about, everyone agreed to them. But there are things, once it's left to our logic, once we don't have a tradition for Moshe, once we have to extrapolate, okay, what would be the law in this case? What would be the law with regard to this aspect? So then, you can sometimes have a machlokas that you have two different understandings. One would say this way, one would say that way. Machloket is an argument. So the Rambam says a very important point, which the Rambam is famous for having said, and everyone discusses, well, what does the Rambam mean by this? And it's unclear what the Rambam meant by this. But the Rambam maintains that anything we have a direct tradition from Moshe, anything Moshe Rabbeinu taught us explicitly, there was never a machlokas about. The only place we have machlokas, says the Rambam, is where we had to extrapolate with the Yud Gimel Midos. Anything that's beferish in the Torah, anything that's beferish a tradition from Moshe, there was never a machlokas about. That's what the Rambam says. One thinks this thought, this logic, and he's strengthened in his thought that this is what's right. And this one thinks, no, this is the way that's more logical to extrapolate. Because this is the way God created humans, that when it comes to logic, so even though we're working in a truly logical manner, We're not being biased, we're not being partial, we're trying to just apply our logic. Nonetheless, what's going to seem more logical to me might seem less logical to you. You might think it's more logical to understand it a different way. So that, says the Rambam, that's part of the way God created us. And when they'd have an argument, then they'd go with the majority opinion. The Torah taught us, Acharei Rabim Latot. We decide with the majority opinion. And now we finish the first section of the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah, in which the Rambam explains to us how the Torah was taught with its explanation, how Moshe received the Torah and the mitzvos with all the details. He taught them over, we said, four times. Moshe taught it to Aaron, then Aaron came and stood at his right. Then he taught it to Elazar Yisamar, they came and stood at his side. Then he taught it to the 70 elders, and then he taught it to all the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu taught it four times, and Aaron heard it four times. And then Aaron would teach it to the masses, and Elazar and Yisamar ended up hearing it four times. Aaron would leave, Elazar and Yisamar taught it, and then they'd have heard it four times, taught it once on their own. The elders have heard it four times, and they teach it the fourth time to the Jewish people. After the Jewish people heard it, they went out and reviewed it, and if they had any questions, the leaders would go around and check that everyone had it clear. They'd write down their own megillot, their own pieces of parchment, summing up what they've learned. And then, when Moshe Rabbeinu hit the end of the 40 years, he said, if anyone has questions, let them come to me. He spent the last 37 days of his life explaining it to the Jewish people. At the end of his life, he wrote 13 Sifrei Torah. He gave one to each Shevet and one to the Levim. And after he passed away, Yoshua and the elders sat down and worked on the Torah. He gave them, reviewing what he taught them and extrapolating new questions, things that he hadn't taught them with the 13 laws of logic. And it's in these extrapolations that we have a machloket. Anything that he taught explicitly, there was no machloket on. So that's what we saw now in the first section of the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah.
So in the time of Yehoshua,
the Rambam says there was machloket, but they'd reach a bottom line because they'd go with the majority opinion. That's what the Rambam says.